It's the weekend, and you have financial questions that need answering. That can only mean one thing. It's time for Jill on Money, the show that takes the mystery out of your finances. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. Hey, Mark, it is the New Year's resolution show. Can you believe it? For me and for our Jewish listeners. Oh, just a little Rosh Hashanah humor for you all. Welcome to the program. This is where we take the mystery out of your financial life. I'm Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst. I'm joined by Mark T., running the program, the executive producer of Jill on Money World. The world of Jill on Money, produced by Mark. If you've got a financial question, this is the program where we can help you out. Remember, I'm a CFP. I can do this. Certified financial planner. I'm even the senior CFP board ambassador. It's like for real, man. Mark, how's the new CFP class going for you? What are you doing this time? Oh, he's doing investments. So what did you do? You did financial planning, insurance, and now investments. A lot of standard deviation. You know what? As I've said many times, you really need to take three classes in college to prepare for any job in financial services. So don't be pre-business. You don't have to worry about that. What you can do is you can take economics, statistics, and accounting. Just one big broad survey course in each of those three. You're all set. And specifically, I would rank it as statistics one, accounting two, and even if you had to like blow off economics, I'd rather you take art history and become a more well-rounded human being. We'll talk more about that and the value of a liberal arts education in an upcoming episode. All right, so what's going on this weekend, gang? You know it's football season. For those of us who are Jets fans here in the Northeast, I'd rather just be over. You know what? I almost would prefer they go winless at this point. I mean, they're 0-2, so they're on the road. But here they are going to play the Dolphins. It's going to be a complete embarrassment. And everyone's going to root for Miami because of the storm. I know, it could be 0-3 by the time you're listening to this. It's unbelievable. Stink. All right, let's go take a call to take my mind off of this. It's Chris who's calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Chris, are you a football fan?
Big time. Chicago Bears.
Oh, the Bears. See, that's a real team. The Jets are not a real team. Mark says the Bears stink. Do they stink?
The Bears are horrible.
But they have had winning.
It's part of their charm, though.
Are you a White Sox or a Cubbies fan?
Cubs, all the way, north side. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you've done well, so that's good. You got that whole thing done.
My wife showed me a video of me screaming in the living room while we were watching that game, the pivotal game to get them into the World Series yesterday. We laughed.
Oh, kind of see, it's nice to go back to that. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, I wish I were hosting a sports show because I do love sports. But this is a financial show. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, I want your opinion on this. I'll just get personal here. My income is normally between $150,000 and $200,000 a year, but I had a windfall this year. I made on a special project, I made $875,000.
Woo, baby. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. I'm loving that windfall. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm in a tax pickle, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners are. I thought this would be a relevant question for other people, to hear what you might suggest. Mm-hmm. I don't have any fancy deferred comp plans. So I'm kind of hanging out there. I've been watching, the potential changes to the tax code and whether it's going to be retroactive to this year and all that, blah, blah, blah. But what does somebody do, where I've got, and again, the old adage is if I have to pay tax, obviously I do, but if I have to pay, I'm in a win position, rather than making 150 to 200, which is my usual routine. So I'm glad for the windfall, but at the same time, it's a big chunk of money.
It sure is. So right now, that money is going to be, in other words, you are a employee. This is not like you, you're not an independent contractor, right?
I work for myself. I'm actually an attorney. I work for myself in Phoenix.
Oh, wait a minute. I might have an idea for you. I'm not kidding. I just got so excited. So do you have employees yourself?
Yes.
How many?
Just two.
Are any of them related to you?
Well, my daughter does work for me, yes.
Okay.
She works in a part-time capacity. She's going to school, liberal arts.
So of those two employees, those two full-time, are they full-time or is one of them your daughter working part-time?
One's working part-time, one's full-time.
The full-time one you want to keep around, right? You like this person?
She's been with me for 13 years.
Okay,
she's
good.
Okay, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, she's okay, yeah. She's listening, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, there's a couple of things that, I mean, first of all, obviously, as you know, the law is the law. You have income, you have to, you absolutely have to pay tax on it. However, you are structured as what, a limited liability company or a professional corp company? How are you, what's your IRS structure?
I'm a PLC, but I've taken an S corporation election.
Okay.
And I've been that way since 2004.
Okay. So obviously we're going to wait to hear details of the tax plan because you as an S corp PLC / S corp person may be very lucky if what has been discussed does come to fruition, and we'll learn more about that in the weeks ahead. That would mean that small S corps and LLCs like you would have a lower tax rate, and this would be a just about the most fabulous thing for you as you get this $875,000. However, I have one other idea for you that I want you to consider. Mark, how much time do I have before the break? Okay, so I have one more idea for you, and you're ready for this great tease? You'll have to wait through the break to find out what that great idea is, at least to consider. So hang on the line, Chris, with your $875,000 windfall. And when we return, we're going to talk about an idea that could help Chris or anyone else listening there who is self-employed or has very few employees to consider. This is something that is, it's awesome. It truly is awesome. So I'm gonna make you wait for it. So stand by, Chris. You are listening to Jill on Money. And this is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. And we love hearing windfall stories. It's most fun ever because it's like hitting the lottery without being the dope who has to play the lottery. Isn't that great? I mean, I know we all do it. Come on. Admit it. You know you do. Anyway, give us a call. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill at JillOnMoney.com. Stand by, Chris from Phoenix. We're going to be right back with you. We'll be right back. Back.
Do I invest here? Should I put my money there? Jill Schlesinger can help you. Back to Jill on Money.
You're back with Jill on Money. This may be my favorite call of the month because before we went to the break, we were talking to Chris from Phoenix. And he is fortunate enough to have worked on a special project which has meant $875,000 of a windfall. Woo, baby! So, Chris, we were talking a little bit before the break about how fabulous that is, and that maybe you will get a break when it comes to tax reform, because obviously if there's new tax plan that allows pass-through organizations like an S-Corp or a limited liability company to enjoy lower rates and be considered a corporation rather being taxed on the personal side, this is going to be great. But here's a question for you. Do you currently have a retirement plan, Chris?
I used to have a simple plan as part of my business, but I terminated that back in 2008, whenever the drop occurred.
Okay. And nothing since then, right?
No.
Okay. So here's what I want you to consider, and you're going to probably have to go talk to someone who deals with this in your area. I want you to think about whether or not it might make sense for you to put in a retirement plan just to get some of that money off the top, all right? And one thing to consider would be just a plain old 401k, right? How old are you?
I'm 53.
Okay. So if you had put in a 401k for you and that one full-time employee who you like, you know, you could put up to $24,000. Not a lot, but hey, you know what? It's good. You could also create something called a SEP IRA, which allows you to put in $54,000, which would be pretty sweet for you. That would get that money off the top. But the real way to take a chunk of money off the top would be to talk to somebody who puts in defined benefit plans for individuals or small companies like you. And the reason that that might be interesting, and again, I don't know if it's going to work because this is the one, this is like your windfall this year. I don't know what it's going to look, what your income, you know, whether it goes right back to 150 to 200 or not. But if you were to somehow be able to kind of figure this out, you could probably take 200 grand or so of that 875, lop it off the top, not pay taxes on it, and put it into a retirement plan for yourself, and then put a little bit of money away for that one employee. What would you think of that?
It's better than the alternative, I guess.
You so don't. Income. Just by the way, you don't seem happy enough about the 875. Have you gotten over that or what? Why are you not happier?
Oh, I'm happy. It's been 6 months, so it's kind of worn off a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I hear you. So I think you should talk to somebody who does this for a living. And when I mean does this for a living, it may not be, do you have an accountant? Do you have a CPA?
I do my own.
Okay.
Return.
There are people who put these plans in place, and you're going to have to find one, okay? I mean, I can give you the name of somebody who is a New York State-based person. So what I'll do is I'll get your email from Mark, and then I can send it to you. And you can just have someone talk to somebody who can maybe say, hey, that might make sense for you. It might not make sense for you. And at the very least, you know, you could start to get some opinion about whether or not this works. And what I would prefer is that, especially because you have this big windfall in this year, is that when you see what happens with tax reform and then you make a decision going forward, whatever retirement plan you put in place, you want to try to sustain it, right? So it's sure. My idea is not going to work if you can only do it for 1 year only and that's that. But I mean, if there's something else that we can do to defray that tax bill, it would be really nice to do that. Because obviously this is a big change in your life. Is there anything else that's going on in your financial life that we can that we must attend to with that 875?
No.
No.
Not really. I've done well saving over the years.
Okay, good. All right, well, I think that the best, so again, we got to wait for to find out what the tax changes are going to be, and then it's really about the only way to sidestep taxation at that point would be to put in a retirement plan. And essentially, that's going to either be a SEP IRA, a uni 401k, or a 401k with a profit sharing plan, or it's going to be something bigger like this defined benefit plan that you would, again, have to put in place, not just for you, but also for that full-time employee. So I mean, it might be a nice thing to do also to like, hey, you know what, you worked for me for this 13 years, let me show you my appreciation by throwing some money at you. And you know, you'll do it with a little bit of help from Uncle Sam.
Sure.
Oh, look, there's Uncle Sam calling right now. Thanks for calling, Chris. Good luck.
Sorry about that. All right. Thank you, Jill.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. I like that idea. I like a retirement plan. It's so good. For those of you who don't have all that much money, again, the SEP IRA is one of those plans that is actually quite flexible. Again, you get for this year, for 2017, you can put 25% of in any income earned up to $270,000. It's limited to $54,000. That's the probably the big number that might be interesting. But that defined benefit, oh my gosh, it's so good. It really is. It's the only way that I've seen that, like, again, this only works for very small businesses because otherwise you have to make a ton of money so you can put away for everyone in your company. And the tax reform that we've been talking about or that's been bantered about is this idea that if the top corporate tax rate drops from 35% to, say, 20%, and then all of a sudden small businesses like Chris's or any S-Corp or an LLC, if those kinds of pass-through organizations are all of a sudden considered corporations and taxed at that corporate tax rate, that's a huge difference. Because right now, Chris is staring down the barrel of a marginal tax top rate of, you know, all income earned over $418,400, because he's single. I think he said he's single, at 39.6%. But then there's another 3.8% Medicare surtax, so that's 43.4% tax. Oh, he's not single. He's married. Okay, so I'm sorry, all money over $470,700 taxed at 39.6%. Then you tack on 3.8% as that Medicare surtax on net investment income. So what you're really looking at essentially is about, you know, 50 cents on every dollar over 470 is going, 470 grand earned is going to be taxed. And if that's the case, maybe there's a way to reduce that. And one way to reduce that would be to actually put money into a retirement account and maybe hope that instead of getting taxed at 45%, that goes to 20 or 22%. That's a big change. So we'll have to see. It's going to be from whatever is announced to whatever we get to, it's going to be a bit of a long road. So don't count on anything, but we'll be talking more about tax changes as the conversation evolves in the next few weeks. Some of my folks down in D.C. tell me that there is going to be something, whether it's as significant as what was previously promised is unclear at this time. Okay. Okay. What else? That's all I can give him. I think that's pretty good. He just didn't sound all that psyched. I don't know. I'm so psyched for the 875. He didn't sound as psyched. If you would be like to be psyched about your 875 or your even 87,500, 8,750, I'd be psyched at $87 if I found it. You're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Young, old, it doesn't matter. She's here to help you. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your finances. Mark, have you started watching The Deuce on HBO? Yeah, James Franco in two different roles, but it's with your guy, Simon. But you love Tremé, and it's the same guy. David Simon, right? So he's The Wire, he's Tremé. No, all right. Mark, not a fan of Franco. Okay, I haven't started watching it either. I heard it's just a very realistic depiction of gritty New York in the 70s. So since I grew up then, I thought that would be interesting. All right, back to you. If you've got a financial question, we would love to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. We'll get you on the air live. And you can always go to jillonmoney.com to listen to past shows. If you miss any part of this one, we've got our nice link to the YouTube channel at the top of the site. So just check that out. And also, you can check out our podcast, Better Off. You can get it on Apple, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, or anywhere else you find your favorite podcasts. That is what Carl did. Carl says, I started listening to your podcast while I tended to the yard. I'm a PE teacher. I need some tranquility after a tough year. Yard work and financial advice from you hit the spot. That's sweet. I really enjoyed so many of your episodes where I was able to use nuggets of wisdom throughout the day to reassure my own financial wisdom. After all the episodes, though, I am a bit worried. I'm nervous because I think my wife and I are doing something wrong. We have a 403B through AXA. I've done research and found that maybe this is a terrible idea because of high fees. I have found no one to say nice things about AXA. I signed up early, age 24, for a plan and never looked back. Now that I have some knowledge, what should I do? I contacted my advisor. I'm ready to set up a meeting with others that my school district allows, but what are my options? Can I just take my money and go somewhere else? What do I need to look at before making a decision? Please help, Jill. I value your opinion. I know I can trust your advice. Thanks and keep on making the good stuff, Carl. Okay, so the 403B universe is a little bit more difficult sometimes because what will often happen is a bunch of advisors will hop, like sort of hone in on a school district and say, oh, use our stuff. And early on, this tended to be life insurance folks. And that's how you end up with a product like a variable annuity through AXA that's inside of this 403B. The good news is that if you were to just send me the list of your choices, of what options there are, we could help you out. You can, in fact, just take your money and go somewhere else. You can take the money that's in that AXA contract and transfer it directly into another 403B account. Now, ideally, what you would do is you would actually find a much cheaper option. And it would be one, instead of having a variable annuity, it would be one where there were low-cost index funds. Or even if it were just low-cost, if it were a low-cost annuity, it would even be better. But until we know what your options are, I can't give you specific advice, except to know the most important thing you did is the actual right thing, meaning you started early and you saved, which is amazing. That's great. You are way ahead of the pack just by doing that. Next step, let's pick a better option for you, one that's cheaper. So send us whatever fund, whatever like mutual fund companies, insurance companies, just send us all of your choices and we will absolutely positively get back to you and tell you what your best option is. Okay? And that to me is kind of, like I said, you've done the hard work. Isn't that great? So good. I don't know. I mean, Mark thinks he's panicking. I don't think he's panicking. I think it's just, it's weird when you find out that you have done something that may not be in your own best interest. But how would you know? I mean, gosh, it's really hard to tell the difference among all these different contracts. And you know what I've started to think about, Mark? I've been thinking that, you know, it's not that people don't, they kind of have a sense that okay, this thing is right, I'm saving, it's great. But it's hard to look at that fine print. It really is. And if you and I were to just sort of be normal human beings and look at some of those insurance contracts or try to discern what the fee is for each of the funds inside of the variable, it's not easy. It really isn't. So I'm going to take you off the hook a little bit on that one, for real, because that's just tough to do. So, poor guy. AXA is a big insurance company. So, I mean, this is the point is that, you know, all of these big companies, they have retirement accounts, and they go into these school systems, and, you know, mostly they're variable annuities, and mostly they have a bunch of high fees, and, you know, it's a drag. And again, I don't understand why these school systems aren't more responsible about it. I really don't. I mean, they have very nice, they have a nice website, they've got retirement planning articles and videos about how to learn how to accelerate your retirement savings. You know how you don't accelerate your retirement savings? By paying 2 or 3% a year in fees to a big fat insurance company. That's how you can actually decelerate your savings. Oh, gosh. Once again, making friends with the insurance industry. I love insurance. I like annuities. But, I mean, can you make it more opaque? Guys, geez Louise, it is hard for people to understand the stuff you're selling. And if you're selling stuff based on obfuscation, you know, murkiness, if you're really not being clear about how much things cost and you're not giving people smarter alternatives, then you're going to lose business. So, theoretically, if these companies were simply to come through the front door and say, well, you know, instead of charging you 2 or 3%, we're going to charge you 1% so we can be competitive with mutual funds and you have all these other options, great. But until then, let's find you some sweeter, cheaper options. You're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL, or send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
To Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Have a question? Call anytime, day or night, 855-411-JILL.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, give us a holler, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. I just, every so often I run across some research that I think is interesting and I want to share with you, because we often will get questions from folks who are saying, hey, you know, I'm planning on my retirement. I want to actually just be able to put money away for my kid. I don't want to fully fund retirement. I want to pay for college and I'll just work longer. That's how I'll do it. I'll work longer. Okay. Sounds like a great idea. But then I'm reading in the Wall Street Journal about some really interesting research that shows, although you may want to work longer, you may not be able to. So check this out. So I mean, again, people say this all the time. Gallup poll earlier this year, about a third of the people surveyed said they plan to retire at age 68 or older. The Employee Benefit Research Institute, 38% say they expect to retire at age 70 and beyond. Federal Reserve did a study. 38% of surveyed adults age 60 and older said they plan to continue working in retirement. So that's our intent, right? We want to keep working. Sounds great. And I am that person. I want to keep working as long as I can. I had a grandfather who worked until he was 88. I hope that I can work as long as I can. That would be awesome. But then you look at what people are actually doing, and it's different. So in that Gallup poll where 31% said they're going to work till 68, they found that actually the people who are already retired said they stopped working on average at age 61. And in that employee benefits survey, only 4% said they worked until 70 or beyond. So I want to work, but I'm not doing it. Same conclusion at the Federal Reserve. Like basically only 7% of people said they had income from a job after age 70. Okay. So what's happening here? We're in our work lives. We're healthy. we're happy and we say, we want to keep working. I get that, right? Yes, of course, we want to keep working. But that's not what's happening. The disparity is because things happen. Different kinds of things can happen. You can have a health problem that prevents you from working. You may need to take care of an aging parent or relative. That can happen. Maybe your loved one, maybe your spouse. You decide that you really want to work longer, but maybe it's not so easy to land that next job. Any of those things can derail your plan. And one of the fears that I have when people tell me I'll just work longer is that you just don't know. So what is the remedy to this disparity? What's the remedy to thinking you'd like to work longer, but in fact, you're not able to? Well, this argues for you to actually save more today. It also is a really good argument for making sure that you secure your retirement before you start paying for your kid's education. Even if your kid has to take a loan. Because what's the best case? The best case is you fund your retirement, kids take a loan for college, you are able to keep working longer into your 60s or maybe after age 70, and that's all great. And you have the money that you can help your kid pay down the loan if you so desire. That's the best case. Let's do the worst case. You don't save for retirement. You pay for your kid's education. You're thinking like no big deal because I will just keep working. You get to age, and maybe your plan is predicated on working till age 68. You get to age 61, you get downsized. You can't get another job. You don't have enough money to save to actually be retired. You're forced to do something that maybe you would never have thought of doing previously. You are then really in a big bind because you can't afford the life you thought you were going to have. These are risks that we can actually mitigate. The way you can mitigate that risk is not to plan for the absolute best case scenario. I want you to be thinking more like, what's the likely scenario? And we now have evidence that despite the fact that more than a third of Americans think they're going to work longer, that's not happening. So let's plan on, I hope that happens. That would be great if it were to happen. But how do I protect me? How do I protect my family? How do I try to spread this finite amount of resources around? Take a more conservative approach. That's the way to do it. And if you do that, I think what you're left with is a lot more opportunity. And I love opportunity. All right, you're listening to Jill on Money. When we return, more of your questions. If you'd like to contact us, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Chris from Arizona wants to know, is the tax percentage for annual withdrawal on an inherited IRA a fixed rate? No. Inherited IRA rules are annoying. There, you can go onto the IRS website to look at it, but the deal is that you got to take distributions during your life. You're the beneficiary, right? And you pay tax at your own tax bracket on any distribution you take, okay? if you inherit a Roth IRA, you don't have to pay taxes, right? But a regular traditional IRA, it's just at your, it's at your own tax bracket. There's no way to really make that go away. So you usually have to do it during your lifetime. There's lots of rules about whether you could do it based on whether the person who died was collecting their minimum required distribution. Do you have to do it on their timetable, your timetable? But long story short, when you're gonna pay the tax, it's a little bit of a pain in the neck. But that said, you were able to actually get this money, you know. So that's the most important part that you should know. Very easy. If you are somebody who is thinking about your own estate planning, one thing to consider before you die. I mean, again, this is if you know how old you are and everything. But if you're in a lower tax bracket than your own kids, maybe you want to take the distributions from your own IRA, pay the tax at your lower bracket, and leave the kid the rest of the money. So I don't know. I think that that might be something that you could at least consider. But if you have more questions, let us know. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. And stay tuned. Next up, we've got our interview with Adam Levin. He is a security expert. And boy, there's a lot of security problems after this Equifax data breach. So stay tuned. Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.